702. Health and wellness.
25 before 12 o'clock, time for our health and wellness feature now. We're talking about maladaptive daydreaming. What is it all about? Have you ever experienced drifting away from a conversation or while you are working and you're entering a world of your own imagination and you don't really understand why? Well, maybe you are experiencing that maladaptive daydreaming. We're going to find out more about what it is and what it is not. But if you have experiences in during conversations, you just drift away and you're not really sure what's going on, give us a call on 011-880-702. Maybe you can explain how you often daydream. You know, what kind of shape does that take? The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Matsidiso Ntako Makovi is a clinical psychologist guiding us through this conversation on our health and wellness feature this morning. Matsidiso, thanks for making time for us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
What is maladaptive daydreaming? What is it all about?
Right. So maladaptive daydreaming refers to this extensive repetitive series of daydreaming or fantasy activity. And what we find is that it replaces your human everyday interaction. So a person with maladaptive daydreaming would engage in long periods of daydreaming, which means, you know, dreaming during an awakened state. And you find that the person creates different scenarios and thoughts that are very vivid, so as to use it as a way of, you know, coping and escaping from reality.
Okay, so they create their own reality, so to speak. Well, based on their creation, is it from their, you know, true live events, or is it just creating a hypothetical, completely new world and new scenarios? Or are those thoughts always about something that's happening in their lives?
It can be a mixture. It can be a mixture of what, you know, currently happening in the person's life. But what we usually find is that the person visualizes these thoughts and imagines situations that are not actually happening in everyday life. It's usually pleasant or wishful thoughts that the person wants to happen, or they just want to enjoy and, you know, indulge in this fantasy world. So it's basically scenarios that are created. And it usually happens when, you know, there's lack of external stimulus of the brain. And so the person wants to sort of entertain themselves. And it can be linked to maybe some triggers. Let's say maybe there's a conversation that occurred the previous day, or a person has been watching different series, and then now they create their own, you know, narrative during the daydreaming state.
Okay, how do we differentiate between just the normal daydreaming where people are just drifting into their own thoughts and sometimes they're even speaking to themselves and maybe they're replaying a fight that happened yesterday or an exciting moment from the previous day or from earlier that morning? How do we differentiate between people who drift into that world of their own where they're distracted from a normal conversation or an activity at work, from then this maladaptive daydreaming?
A very good question. So this calls for an explanation about the difference between normalcy and maladaptiveness or pathology. So the difference is when the actual daydreaming or maladaptive daydreaming starts to interfere with one's daily life, and it has like a negative effect, you know, on the person's daily functioning, and it causes distress. That's when you see that now this is becoming a problem, where my daydreaming is so excessive that I can't attend to my responsibilities, or, you know, I'm not able to achieve my goals or deadlines, or even at work, I'm not able to complete tasks because I'm so consumed, you know, by this daydreaming. And like you said, the person literally zones out. And the people around them, what they would be looking at is a person who is actually talking to themselves and looking into, you know, the distance and just engaging in their own inner world. So it becomes a problem now when you actually are at work and you have to complete tasks and you cannot because you are engaging in excessive amounts of daydreaming. When I say excessive, I mean, you know, hours, several hours and hours of daydreaming.
Yeah, yeah. So who's normally prone to this kind of condition?
People who are prone to this condition, what I've discovered is that people who have a history of childhood trauma or they have another comorbid psychological disorder. So people who have anxiety, people who already have, you know, depression, and also daydreaming can be associated with behavioral addictions. So somebody who already has an alcohol or drug addiction or gambling addiction can be more prone to experiencing this form of condition. But I must emphasize that, you know, maladaptive daydreaming is not a mental disorder, a mental health disorder that is prognosable, right? So it's not in our diagnostic statistical manual when we diagnose patients, but it can affect a person's life significantly. So it is a mental health problem rather than a disorder.
Okay. Well, take some calls after the break on 011-883-0702. I see your WhatsApps as well on 072-702-1702. We'll start with them. We're discussing maladaptive daydreaming this morning with Matsidiso Ntako Makovi. What are your experiences? Do you drift away? Have you been able to differentiate between just normal daydreaming and maladaptive daydreaming, which could even start impacting on your relations, can start impacting on your work because you're now replacing real events, real relationships with these scenarios. You know, you're replacing human interactions also with these scenarios and just being drifting away and being by yourself in your own world. Give us a call or send us a WhatsApp voice note now. If you've got questions, please keep them coming. It's 19 before
702. Health and wellness.
Maladaptive daydreaming is what we're discussing on our health and wellness feature this morning with Matsidiso Ntako Makovi. Let's go to your WhatsApp voice notes.
Good morning, Clement. This is Penny from Four Ways. I have got a problem with my grandson, and this has been going on since he was in grade 5. He's now in grade 9. He says he just, during, even when he's working, doing his work, he just stops in the middle of work, and then he starts daydreaming. Always the teacher had to just tap the desk and just to bring him back. What can that this be? Thank you.
Thank you, Pemi, for the WhatsApp voice notes. Matsidiso? Oh, sorry, Matsidiso. Lost you there a bit. Please, if you can start from scratch.
Right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, much better.
Okay. With children, it's rather tricky. I would recommend that the parent sends their child to an educational psychologist for an assessment. Because with children, you might find that it's actually a symptom of an underlying mental health problem like ADHD or a learning disability. So if they can get thoroughly assessed, and then probably you might find that they can get some recommended treatment, or the child can actually be placed in a school that is more at their own pace, you know. So you might find that a child that is ADHD gets easily distracted because they're not enjoying the learning environment, they're not coping with the learning environment, and they would need to probably be in another different school that is suitable for their needs. So first line would be to get an assessment.
Okay, get an assessment first. Are there any common signs and symptoms that people should be looking out for?
There's quite a number of symptoms. So one of the symptoms of maladaptive daydreaming would be this vivid, you know, daydreams that involve different characters and plots and scenarios, and difficulty sleeping as a result of excessive daydreaming, difficulty completing everyday tasks, and this overwhelming desire to actually continue daydreaming, almost like it alleviates the person's anxiety. And this is repetitive to a point where the person, you know, is doing movements with their mouth and facial expressions during the deep dreaming. A person also talking to themselves and whispering. Those are some of the symptoms. And as I said, long periods of time, over long periods of time, and it starts to cause distress in their daily life, and there's lack of productivity. And just one more symptom would be that the person is aware that their daydreaming and fantasizing is not part of reality. Because now if there is a lack of awareness, then it means that the person might be having another mental disorder. But it must be clear that when a person is engaging in maladaptive daydreaming, they are actually aware of the difference between the fantasizing versus reality.
Ah, okay. Does someone's childhood have an impact in all of this? Are there any underlying causes that, you know, can be linked to how someone was raised, their childhood?
Yes. Because remember, with maladaptive daydreaming, it is a coping mechanism. So someone is trying to cope with something that is distressing them. So, and some of our things that are stressful to us can be linked to our childhood history. So people who are more prone to this condition have a history of trauma, neglect, you know, abuse, or something negative that might have contributed to their development in childhood. Or maybe they have, you know, depression and anxiety in their adulthood. And now they are using maladaptive daydreaming as a way of coping with their internal distress.
Yeah, okay. And then let's talk about treatments now. For people who are listening to us and they're able to see that, my goodness, those are the symptoms that I often, you know, pick up. I see the impact on my interactions, the impact at work. How do they cope with something like this?
Right. I think a symptom that I did not mention as well that's very important is isolation. So when a person daydreams excessively, they might engage in isolation. And if you're already prone to things like depression and anxiety, and then when you self-isolate and daydream, it can lead to, you know, extremely negative symptoms such as even suicidality. So it's very important to seek help when you are experiencing these symptoms. One of the treatment methods that are quite useful would be therapy. Therapy such as cognitive behavioral therapy. And some of the techniques that we use as therapists is to actually help the person talk about the scenarios that they create, to sort of change the plot in the narrative to make it more, to make it a negative so that the person is deterred from actually engaging in this. Because when they daydream, it's very enjoyable, right? But at the same time, the consequences, you know, are dire in that the person can lose their job and can affect their relationships and so forth. So therapy, I think, would be best to engage in. And the therapy is also comprehensive in that we also advocate for various lifestyle changes. A person can also, you know, engage in other healthier activities or hobbies like exercising, meditation, and so forth.
Okay. So are there specific medication that people can explore?
Yes. There's actually some meditation that is in line with cognitive behavioral therapy. So meditation that we do during that therapy process. There are some extreme cases where people actually have to be on medication.
Yeah.
Most of the time that's because the person is already having a comorbid mental disorder like anxiety or depression. So managing, you find that when you manage the anxiety and the depression, the maladaptive daydreaming falls away.
Okay. And are there any extreme cases of this condition?
Extreme cases would be when it leads to suicidal thoughts.
Okay.
Or a neglect of your personal hygiene, you know, and the social withdrawal as well, where you're excessively withdrawing from people And from engaging in society, because you want to engage in this daydreaming. Because a person can even set time aside to be alone so that they can engage in this daydreaming, right? So those would be extreme cases where the person is no longer interacting with their friends and their family. They don't even have time for personal hygiene or for personal hobbies and so forth.
Sure, yeah. And because you said that they're aware of the fantasy versus the reality. Are there instances where they actually talk about what they fantasize about, or that's something they keep to themselves, you know?
Yes, no, there are instances where people actually want to talk about it and they want to express, you know, what is happening, because they want to explain that this is something that they really enjoy. But on the other hand, there are some people who are ashamed of their fantasies, particularly if the fantasies are not, you know, conventional or in line with their religious beliefs. There might be a sense of shame, a sense of fear of exposing, you know, what they are daydreaming about.
Okay. Someone wanted to know about how long it takes. So do these daydreams, maladaptive daydreaming, does it last for several minutes? Can it be several hours?
Yeah, it's really difficult to quantify, but the cases I've encountered, it would be several hours when the person is alone, right? But you find that when the person is at work or at school, they would start daydreaming and somebody would just, you know, distract them. So whereas if it was supposed to be several hours, it will be then just minutes, because people are around to distract them or to call them back into, you know, focusing on the daily activity. So it's difficult to really quantify. I think the way in which to understand if it's a problem is it affecting me? Is it affecting my daily living activity? Is it causing me to feel emotional distress? Because of, you know, people's comments as well, because of not being able to accomplish my goals, because of not being able to interact with my peers or with my family members and so forth.
Okay.
Good day, Clement. Just a question, man. I'm not sure if it will be relevant. If I happen to imagine my funeral, and then maybe I even happen to think more of what will happen to my kids when I'm no more, could that be also regarded as daydreaming? Thank you, Mbuyiseni.
Thanks, Mbuyiseni. Yeah, Matsediso?
I want to emphasize also not just the period of daydreaming, it takes, you know, quite a long time, but the repetitiveness as well of it. So if it's something constant where on a daily basis he's always thinking about his funeral, always daydreaming about what will happen to his children, then it becomes a problem when it's an everyday repetitive thing that removes him from reality temporarily, right? But if it's something that he's thinking about with a plan and actually goes on to, you know, create a will and, you know, organize what might happen should he experience death, then I would say that is something normal, because death is something that is part of, you know, being a human being. So thinking about that and making a plan out of that rather than just dreaming about it with no action, I think then that would be a problem. But if you think about it and you do something about it and it's not repetitive, I think that would be quite normal.
Okay. Bianca on the WhatsApp line says, do you know if you are drifting off? Because I have ADHD and sometimes I know that I'm daydreaming, but it's like hypnosis.
Most people note that they actually are aware. There's a sense of awareness that I'm now drifting away. And it's purposeful. It's structured. A person wants to drift off. It's a bit tricky when it comes to ADHD, because ADHD is a defined mental health disorder on its own and can have symptoms that mimic daydreaming, whereas it's actually distractibility. It's actually a lack of attention and focus. So daydreaming daydreaming is something that is quite broad, but one needs to understand, is this daydreaming part of ADHD, or is it me actually purposefully engaging in this maladaptive daydreaming as a way of coping? Because the person probably lacks an understanding of what else I can use to cope, a healthy coping skills, you know.
Okay. Another one says, Clement Tabang here, this maladaptive daydreaming or fantasizing, it's really happening to me, especially when I have had a very bad or a non-productive day, or if I'm stressed. And I want to ask, how does one deal with it? You've already mentioned, obviously, Matsidi, so that you must eat well. There are a number of things you can do. One, do you experience this a lot sometimes when you're really stressed or you've really had an unproductive day? Two, when someone finds themselves in that situation where they feel, oh my goodness, I just zoned out, what's the first thing to do?
So usually it's triggered by something that is distressing, because you must remember that with maladaptive daydreaming, the scenarios that are created internally are positive or wishful. So a person thinks of something that is pleasant, something that is wishful. So it starts with something that is distressing, you know, or maybe they might just take something that they thought about, or a nice scenario that they had previously thought about, or a nice movie that they had watched, and then they bring it into the engagement of maladaptive daydreaming so as to feel more pleasant and alleviate the anxiety. So I don't know if that answered the question.
Matsidiso, thank you so much for making time for us. I appreciate your time. Matsidiso Ntako Makovi is a clinical psychologist. It's 3 minutes now before 12.